If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to stephaniemiller.com to find out how.
So I fell asleep with Lawrence O'Donnell, as I do every night, and then I had a dream that he called. Good morning, Lawrence.
Good morning, Stephanie. I don't know if my voice is working because this is these are the first words I've spoken today.
I like you when you're all sleepy in the morning.
Very, very sleepy here in New York City at 11:34 a.m.
You work the late shift. Good morning, Blue Eyes. How are you?
I'm awake. That's good. The news. I'm
good.
Awake.
Good. You are, as usual, doing the Lord's work, but I know that you called to grovel and beg my forgiveness.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. I called. I've been working on this apology for days, many days.
And
the way I work on an apology is I work really hard to figure out who to blame.
Yes.
I just work because
it's Donald Trump's America. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Sometimes it isn't easy. It at first it feels like it's my fault, and so it can take
Right. Do you refer to the fact that you agreed to do New York Sexy Liberal September 23rd at the K Playhouse, and then we promoted it, and tons of people were all excited, and a lot of wives had to sign like releases to their husbands that they wouldn't touch you, and there was a lot of hubbub. And then what happened, Lawrence?
Yeah, and let's just do the timing on this. I agreed instantly. Okay,
I saw
an email.
I thought I would have to do more wooing.
No, instantly I agreed, right? So let's just get, and I had also agreed instantly, months before that, to appear at the Los Angeles LGBT Center gala event.
You know how to get a woman back, don't you? Because you're like, I'm doing it for the gays.
So here's the thing. That thing was so far in advance. It's one of those things where it's many, many, many months in advance.
Yeah.
And unfortunately,
this is how you keep so many lesbians in love with you.
Unfortunately, the email was sent directly to me,
right?
Instead of my brains, the people who work around me and actually know what I'm doing that day.
Right.
And so I never saw what the date was of that thing. I just knew it was that quote in the fall.
Yeah, this is so gift of the Magi. So you will be here in my town in Los Angeles with my gays.
And here's the thing. Here's the reason why it's the fault of the staff of the Last Word TV show.
Yes, which happens to be number one.
I never told any of them about that.
Yes,
the Los Angeles LGBT Center, because it was a thing I responded to, in the middle of the night, like 12 noon or something.
Right.
And I never mentioned it to them. And then some email came to one of the staff there saying exactly, where should we, send the car to bring him to this thing. And it's the same person.
This apology feels like it's gone on longer than the Trump administration, and that feels long.
I have more.
You had me at hello.
Anyway, I am crushed.
I understand.
I was so looking forward to being on stage with you, with real human beings, because I don't know about you, Steph. I do know about you, but I do it alone in a room.
Is this a Ted Cruz joke? Is that what
you're... No, there's no one. It's me in a little box at MSNBC.
Yes, I know.
There are no human beings.
Yes.
Well,
that's because people can't be subjected to your blue eyes in person that often without consequences.
But I get no human reaction to what I do, and so there was going to be a few minutes on a stage with you where there would be human beings. I was so...
Me too.
Looking forward to that.
Me too. Not since I was holding
you. Do you have another one of those things you can invite me to that I can accept and then...
Yeah, I'm just going to make you come somewhere. I don't...
Cancel. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, when you invite me, I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
And then you have to work on, does he know what he's talking about on this schedule thing?
How about November 11th in Los Angeles at the Mark Taper Forum with Rob Reiner?
The thing. I am going to be... It's so interesting you mentioned that.
Oh, really?
On November 7th, I am publishing my second book, my first book having been published before you were born. And I now am getting around to the second book. And the book tour takes me out there, but I think it's the week after that.
All right. Can I get you in studio here?
Oh, yeah, that would be cool. Right. That second week of November. Mm-hmm. It's really, really early there. Right?
Listen, you owe me.
Yeah.
Listen, I cupped your balls lovingly. Yeah. Remember during Deflategate, I held your footballs on your set with you when we did a whole segment on Deflategate. Well, we will post
they
that.
Not,
that's on YouTube
they
somewhere.
They were not technically my balls.
Yeah.
No,
remember,
also,
we did an entire segment just so we could act like
to the studio. I don't know whose balls you held that day.
Do you remember we did an entire segment?
Where
just
did you buy your pants?
Just to act like eighth graders. Like the entire segment was just so we could do ball jokes while I was holding two footballs next to you.
They came so naturally, those jokes.
Thank you.
Like you couldn't get out of their way. It was like they just you know.
This has gone awry. Now, Lawrence, listen. Just listen to me. You just put the screws to Joy Reid and tell her to show up like she did last year. I'm having everybody I know. I'm having Malcolm Nance pressure her. I need to put the screws
to
her.
An upgrade. So that, like, if Joy, that's an upgrade.
All right.
Boy, I will.
All right. Get that done. Thank you. By the way, Laffy, one of the many women in love with you, she tweeted, quote unquote, steal the grief of 9/11 families and use it as his own. Lawrence described Trump's lies about losing hundreds of friends that way. Perfect. Women think you are perfect in every way, including everything you say, Lawrence.
there are these sections of your sentences that I don't know how to deal with. I think you might have noticed that.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's this thing that he did in the South Carolina debate with the Republicans where he screams, "I lost hundreds of friends on 9/11. And I'm sitting at home watching that. And I immediately tell the world through Twitter, which is to say, I don't know, a few hundred people, that that's a lie. And I, at the moment when I'm tweeting that, do not know how many friends he lost on 9/11, but I know it's not hundreds.
Right.
The next day on Meet the Press, he downgrades that to many, many friends. And I tweet immediately, that's a lie. I still don't know how many friends he'd lost. So then I do my homework. And of course, the number is zero. And he did not attend a single 9/11 funeral. And in that avalanche of nonstop Trump lying, this is one of the... It's the biggest ignored one. It's the biggest one that got just completely ignored. An American politician running for president, by the way, mm-hmm. you know, not, you know, something in Idaho, running for president, who says, I lost hundreds of friends on 9/11, and it's an ignored lie.
Right.
And then that's the guy who stands there yesterday and speaks to directly to families of victims of 9/11. At the Pentagon and talks to them about understanding their grief.
Well, and we forget the other two audio we just played this morning. There's video, which we'd love to see on Last Word tonight. That we forget that he also said he now has the tallest building in New York.
Yeah,
and he also claimed that he helped clean up the rubble and helped. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are on tape. I mean, yeah. And that's before the hundreds of dancing Muslims in New Jersey. I mean, it really is astounding that he's such a liar and he's such a horrible person now. We forget what a liar and a horrible person he has always been, right?
Yeah. It was nonstop. And I mean, I've known that ever since I first, you know, heard his name in New York, you know, back in the 80s, I guess. I mean, there wasn't anyone who took him for anything but an idiot. And I was kind of... I wasn't there at the creation. I was in the neighborhood at the creation when Kurt Anderson and Graydon Carter were running Spy magazine, and I did a couple of articles for them. And Graydon went and interviewed Trump, who they'd been criticizing, you know, a lot in the magazine, and Trump was trying to win them over. And Kurt told me that the first thing Graydon said when he came back from the meeting with Trump was, "He has extraordinarily short fingers." That was note one. And then he became the short-fingered vulgarian in Spy magazine, and he was never anything else to me.
Did you see the clip of him at the hurricane holding his hands up going, "They're too big for the gloves"?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. right before he told everyone to have a good time. Look at this turnout. Oh, okay, everybody have a good time.
Oh, he just, we have just lowered the bar in the media has in the way that stuff is accepted.
Yeah.
If any other president, if any other governor, anybody prior to the age of Trump had said in a situation like that, have a good time. Mm-hmm. That would be, I remember the stuff about, oh, you know, Brownie's doing a good job. You know, they're like right. George W. Bush.
Heck of a job, Brownie.
You know, his EP, his FEMA administrator is doing a good job in Katrina. And there's nothing wrong with that sentence, that Brownie's doing a good job. What was objected to was people believed he maybe wasn't doing a good job. But that sentence became this condemning thing about George W. Bush. That would have been the most elegant thing that Trump has said about any of this.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure this is not significant, but you did see that a member of the Russian Duma admitted on live television that Russia stole the United States election. Do you think that's significant in any way?
Yeah. It's, you know, and I got to say, the media rushes, in general, the media has rushed to the notion that, of course, the actual votes were not interfered with. Well, number one, we don't actually know that.
Thank you.
And voting gets interfered with on the matter of who decides to vote and who decides not to vote. And it's truly that the people who end up deciding the election are the kind of least participatory members of our democracy. They're the voter who might or might not vote. The people who are guaranteed to vote pretty much know who they're going to vote for a minimum of 6 months ahead of time and usually a year ahead of time.
Yeah.
Those people, that last, you know, 3 to 5% who are deciding, the first thing they're deciding is, am I going to vote? That's decision number one.
Right.
And then when I get there, which one of these people who I don't like am I going to vote for? And so turning people off and turning people off from a candidate, in this instance, Hillary Clinton, helps turn them away from the very act of voting sometimes.
Yeah.
That's one way of winning. And the other way is if you can turn them all the way over to voting for Donald Trump. That's another way of winning.
Yeah.
And so the idea that, oh, we don't have evidence that they electronically reached into the vote count anywhere. Well, they may have, but we don't have evidence.
Yeah. I think we're still at the tip of the iceberg. Where do you think we are on the Mueller clock? How close to Mueller time are we?
Oh, you know, that's the great question.
Are we there yet, Daddy?
And we don't know, and I'm going to say something to you that you won't understand because you're not old enough. But
that's the second time he said that this morning.
We have an internal clock for this, and it is the Nixon clock. And those of us who lived through it remember its pace. And we remember that Nixon was reelected with a 49-state electoral college win.
Boy.
This was a gigantic thing. And he's inaugurated, in this triumphant landslide. And that 18 months after his inauguration, he was on a helicopter waving goodbye, quitting the presidency. And on Inauguration Day, none of us could have dreamed that would happen. And in the middle of that first year of the second term, which is to say at this point in the second term,
yeah,
none of us would have guessed that was going to happen. And then the pace picked up of the Watergate investigation. But the thing is, the Watergate investigation picked up to the pace about a month before Nixon resigned. That is the pace we are at now with Trump, and have been at for a couple of months. And so our internal presidential scandal, when does he go to the helicopter, clock is saying, any minute now, right? And it's like, I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yep. Well, you know what warms my cockles, and I mean that in a really dirty way, you, and the fact that your ratings are fantastic. Rachel Maddow as well, that MSNBC, I mean, it gives me, honestly, some hope, doesn't it, that there is a reason that people want fact-based information, right?
Here are the three things that should give us hope. Number one, Donald Trump's opponent got more votes. Okay, yes. So that should give us hope.
Number one,
really important,
yes,
that Hillary Clinton got more votes. Secondly, as soon as he was inaugurated, within that week, a poll came out showing 2/3 of the country disapproved of most things about Donald Trump, and now it's 2/3. He has the lowest approval rating of any president in history at this point on the calendar. So America has turned against him, and then we see this flow. We saw this. People turning to MSNBC primetime, to Rachel, and me especially.
Yes, remember when I helped save you, Lawrence? Remember
yes,
that? I led
indeed,
the Twitter
yes,
campaign.
Indeed,
save you.
Yeah, and it is. There's definitely an expression there of people wanting to gather in the majority of people wanting to gather in a resistance to what's happening.
Yeah. I kid, but you know I am sincere that I am a huge, huge fan. You just do, honestly, the Lord's work every night. We love you. That was the longest, most boring apology ever, and I could still listen to you talk forever.
Stephanie, you should try a teleprompter sometime. Mm-hmm. So easy.
Okay. I love you, Lawrence O'Donnell. I'll see you on the TV tonight.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye, honey.
Bye.
Squee!